Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Let's have a nice cup of TRE in the afternoon with Hannah Murray.
And joining us on the line now is Michelle Gladio. She's an instructional designer, trainer, and executive coach, helping people raise their game as communicators. Her book, Communicate with Courage, encourages people to take risks to overcome the four hidden challenges. Welcome to the show, Michelle.
Oh my gosh, thanks so much for having me. I'm a fan of your communication, as you know, so I'm glad to be here.
Oh, thank you. That's so kind. It's lovely to have you with us. It's funny, isn't it? Communication, we hear it all the time in terms of communication breakdown, you know, things that go wrong in relationships, romantic relationships, working relationships, friendships. If people can't communicate properly, there's a problem.
Absolutely. And I think it's one of the keys to not only success personally and professionally, but to find joy in life. If I don't know why we're here, if not to continue every day to try to be better message senders and receivers. And the reason I love the study of communication so much and wanted to write Communicate with Courage is because I've seen thousands of people taking baby steps towards better speaking, better listening, better conflict management or public speaking. And I see how it changes their lives just through the process of baby steps and self-awareness.
Yeah. Something that always comes up with regards to relationships, a kind of expectations that aren't met when you don't communicate them to your partner. You know, if you're the kind of person that wants to be, I don't know, showered with gifts all the time and just moan to your friends and say, oh, my partner never buys me any presents, or he's really bad with gifts, or, you know, and you're telling everybody else, but you don't tell them that, then, yeah, you know, that they don't know that that's something that you like. And it sounds really obvious, but so many people don't. So many people complain about their partners to other people, but don't say to their partner, listen, it would mean so much to me if you would wash up every day, or if you would tell me that I'm beautiful, or whatever it might be. Yeah. If you need something, you need to tell them.
That's a great point. And I'm certainly guilty in my current and past relationships of expecting my partner to be a mind reader. And yeah, we do that with our employers, with our employees, with our team members. And I think that, Hannah, goes back to very young ages, you know, maybe between the ages of, you know, 2 and 10 years old. Many of us learned coping mechanisms because we were around adults who were certainly, for the most part, doing their best. But we had to find some ways to cope with dysfunction, all of us. And I think we bring that into our adult lives often too long, when we could be taking a look at what used to serve us that doesn't anymore, and starting down the road of some new strategies and summoning courage when fear is present. I try to think about when I'm nervous or fearful about bringing something up to someone. Let's say I've got something on my heart or mind, and I do need to air it out so it doesn't make me resentful or sick or damage the relationship. I try to remember that when I'm feeling afraid, fear is a friend, and it reminds me that, okay, there's my old friend fear. This means I'm going to need to consciously summon some courage, which is, you know, of course, something intangible, but very vital that we have to find in ourselves, and no one else can do that for us. We have to make a choice that our voice matters and that we might disagree, but we want to be heard, and it's worth the effort.
Yeah, it can be hard for some people to break the patterns of things that they've learned from their parents as well. People will say, oh, my father never wanted to talk about anything. And even though you were brought up with that experience and you view it maybe as a negative thing, it's easy to be like that yourself, because that's how you were raised. That's how you saw your parents communicating or not with each other. And then you're that person. You know, you really need to work hard hard to go, okay, my parents never spoke about anything, but I'm not going to be like that. I'm going to change and learn to communicate more. It's a big thing for people to do that.
It is. And I would echo what you've just said. And I would recommend that folks actually speak their goals out loud. So with my work team, for example, I get excited and I interrupt, and it is certainly in my DNA. And we do a lot of personality assessment when we do executive coaching. So we've all taken that at my company. And we know that I'm an expressive and a driver. So I'm passionate and I'm wordy, and I'll interrupt my team. It's been very helpful for me to say to them, I'm going to get a hold of this habit. This is a bad habit that I want to change. And maybe it has taken me 5 decades of life to figure out this is damaging my relationships, but I give them permission to let me know when I'm doing it. And we're able to laugh a bit about it. And they'll say, you know, Michelle, I wasn't finished. Oh, okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for letting me know. We have a chuckle, you know, and there's just a sense of camaraderie that is created, especially if our listeners today are in leadership roles in, for example, their organizational chart in their company or in their nonprofit, if they're volunteering, wherever they have that leadership role, it's very powerful when you do have the power to say, here's something about myself I'm working on. And the rest of us certainly begin to see you differently. I think people put us in boxes, Hannah. Once we've got a human figured out, we're like, great, that's how he is. That's how she is. That's how they are. And we don't often give people room to grow. So those of us, like myself, that are committed to lifelong learning as communicators, it really benefits us to mention perhaps what challenge we're trying to overcome.
Yeah, that's a really positive thing. I also think that, you know, for any kind of self-help, any kind of self-development, wanting to improve yourself, become a better person, that the first step is that awareness and understanding different things that you might want to change or improve on, and then being able to do it, you know, seeing that you need to make that change, and then allowing yourself to do it, letting people know. I mean, it's all good communication, isn't it?
It is. And it just takes a little more effort. And that's what I call a pro move. I write about pro moves in the book, and I ask people to consider that there's often more we can do to improve a situation as communicators than we realize. And that has to do with just making some pro moves. Pro moves are those little things that mean a lot that the average bear walks on by and doesn't notice. To ask the open-ended question to someone that you want to get to know a little better instead of the yes or no question. To pause when you're at a restaurant and you receive great service. Ask to speak to the manager. Get the server's name. Tell the manager how lucky they are to employ that server. That's one of my favorites. And then you're out the door. And it took you hopefully not more than 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. And some of these things take mere seconds just to repeat to someone the gist of what you've heard. Maybe they've had a tough day, and they come home and explain everything that's going wrong at work, and you hang in there and you listen through it, even though you'd rather hear a happy story. At the end of that venting session, you could say, you know, I really wish your day would have been better. It sounds like the most upsetting thing is when that coworker took credit for your work. And I'll take a guess at what someone is either very happy about or stressed about. And I'd say I'm right about half the time, Hannah. But even when I'm wrong, you can see a spark in their eyes, like a sparkle in their eyes, like, oh, this person really wants to understand how I feel and is now checking to make sure that active listening is in place.
Yeah. Oh, it's a lovely thing about the restaurant situation. It reminds me of something my mother always did whenever we'd go to a restaurant. We'd ask for the bill, we'd got the bill, and then before we'd leave, she'd walk up to the kitchen and kind of get the chef's eye and say, thank you so much, that was delicious. And I always thought that was so beautiful.
That is a pro move. And you are so lucky to have been raised by a mom like that. My mom was similar. A lot of my friends from childhood remember her, you know, turning all the way around. She was driving, so she shouldn't have been turning all the way around in the station wagon when she was taking us home from basketball practice. But she would turn all the way around. And if she heard any child using negative self-talk, it was eye contact with Mom Gladio right away to make sure that child knew, no, No, none of us are perfect, but you don't put yourself down like that. She definitely went above and beyond. And I think some of that kind of seeps into us. And I hope our parents are proud of us. I'm guessing that your mom's no longer with us.
No, sadly not.
Yeah, mine. Well, hopefully they're having a cocktail somewhere better today. And pleased that their daughters have met and are talking about communication since we both chose it as a career.
Oh, absolutely. And telling each other how nice they look. That's what they'll be doing. They'll be being nice to each other. Absolutely. And I also love what you were saying about you telling your coworkers, okay, if I do this, please tell me. And then they tell you and you have a laugh about it and you say, oh, thank you so much. And it's, you know, it's a positive exchange, because so often those things are negative. I'll go back to the relationship side of things. If you feel like your partner always criticizes you, for example, and you say things like, you're always criticizing me, every time they criticize you again, it's, here you go there, you're criticizing me again. I told you always criticize me. And it's a negative pattern that just keeps repeating itself. Whereas if you can turn it into how you've done it by saying, it really upsets me when you criticize me, it doesn't make me feel very nice, please can you stop doing that, and hopefully get an adult response from them and them saying, oh, I'm so sorry, I don't mean to, please let me know next time I do it, like you've done. They do it, you can laugh about, you can say, oh, that's, you know, that's a bit critical, and they can say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to, and it's it's a much better exchange.
What do you bet that person also perhaps grew up in an environment where they were criticized frequently? This is a pattern that is learned that can be unlearned. I just want to remind everyone that we're only 50% of any interaction. And I almost think of it as holding my arms up. This is my dance space if we're going to waltz. And yes, that is your dance space. And all we can do is the best we have with our 50%. We cannot control reactions. We should not have to worry about controlling reactions. But definitely speaking about what someone's motive is can be helpful. I try, and that's a pro move. I state my motive. So if you're my coworker or my sister, Hannah, and I don't like the way you are treating me in some way or something's being done, I have a bone to pick with you. I try to state my motivation or intention first, recently with a coworker. Hey, I know I'm not the technology expert and I am not trying to tell you how to do your job. However, it would be much more helpful if this data could somehow be organized in a different way. Rather than the first conversation, the first words being, this is wrong, I need this a different way, I like to start with my motive, which is, and it should be your sincere motive. So it might be, back to the criticizing significant other, it might be asking that person, when you correct me like that, privately or publicly, when you criticize me, what is your motive? Are you trying to make me feel bad? And that person might say, no, I just know that you want to do your best and I'm letting you know how you could do better, that kind of thing. Well, you know, you do make me feel bad, even though that's not your motive. So I want to let you know that. I like to get to the motive. What is this person's intention? And I will ask. You know, and I read, I'm in Indiana here in the United States, in the Midwest. And I, you know, we have advice columnists, of course, that we like to read. And I was reading one years ago, a Dear Abby sort of thing. And someone said, what do I do about these, for example, questions that are inappropriate? How do I handle that in polite gatherings? And the advice columnist said, ask the person, oh, why do you ask? And I always try to remember that, just very, you know, very friendly. Why do you ask? That's similar to, what is your intention with what you said? And if you can keep your heart light, which is tough when you're feeling defensive, but if you can keep your heart light and your mind open, you might find that they have a good intention and they might want to make a change in how they roll through communication with you.
Yeah, it's easy to not only get defensive, but get upset or get angry at someone who's upset you or said something that's hit a nerve. But that only creates conflict, doesn't it? You know, whether it's them who've started it or you who've started it. The point is, very quickly, you're into an argument and you can be into a shouting match, which isn't fun for anyone. So you can be very clever in your response to someone verbally attacking you, if you like, that can probably throw them off guard if they're expecting you to have a go at them and you come back with a really smart, calm response. Like, why would you say that? I don't understand what you mean.
Are you okay? That doesn't seem like you. And it's easier to pull off these things when we have a lot of self-love and everybody is working on that.
Yeah.
I'd say if you're mentally healthy, then you probably have quite a bit of self-doubt, and we all have that negative self-talk that happens sometimes. But, you know, one of the solutions to that is to have a couple goals in mind for your communication. And then you get the feeling of pride when you see yourself changing, not to mention you're a living role model as you overcome some of these hidden challenges that I've written about in the book. Could I maybe just touch on what those four are?
Please. Absolutely.
Okay. So, and the funny thing is my family, my friends, my coworkers, they read all the many versions of the book before it was published, and they came back with, "What do I do if I have all four hidden challenges?" And I said, just pick one. You know,
one at a time.
One for this year, one for next year. So the first
just to say, Michelle, I'm so sorry. We only have a few minutes because I've got get another ad break in before the end of the show at the top of the
hour. Absolutely. Okay. So the hidden challenges are hiding from risk. And I write about how people can overcome their fear of exposing their weakness. The second is defining to be right. And that's being too quick to judge. Rationalizing the negative is shielding ourselves from taking chances to do the hard thing. And then settling for good enough is just what it sounds. It's stopping at good enough instead of striving towards interactions that have more rewarding outcomes. So if we have listeners interested, I'd be so pleased if they check out the book and check out my challenges as well as the potential solutions that I offer.
Yeah, great. I love that the way you describe great communication as being a full body, full mind, and full heart effort.
Yes, you know when you're doing it because every part of you is engaged and alive and tingly, and that won't be all the time. I'm not saying everyone should be striving to be A++++ communicators all the time, just sometimes when it aligns with your values and the things you hold most dear.
Yeah. Well, chatting to you does. It's been lovely. Thank you so much. It's been really, really nice. If people want to get a copy of the book, it's called Communicate with Courage, and it's available on our website, tre.radio. It's by Michelle Gladio, who we've been chatting with today. Michelle, thank you so much.
Thank you. I know your mom is proud.
Ah, so's yours.
Oh, bye-bye. Take care.